This episode of Spittin' Chiclets is brought to you by DraftKings. Hockey season is finally here, and there's tons of dough to be made at DraftKings. You can be part of the action all season long with our one-day fantasy hockey at DraftKings.com. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, and they're celebrating the return of hockey by giving you a shot to win cash prizes tonight. Grinnelli, I'm pretty sure you pocketed some loot already, correct?
It's literally paying for food on my table.
I mean, you got, guys, look at Ovechkin, 8 goals already. Brandon Saad, James Neal, Zibanejad, 5 goals each. You know, Wayne Simmons, another guy. If you've been on those dudes the right night getting hat tricks, easy money to be made at DraftKings, no doubt about it. Choose between public contests with big cash prizes or private contests where you face off with a group of your friends. DraftKings also has beginner and casual contests where you play against people of a similar skill level. All you have to do is pick your team and start racking up points for goals, assists, shots, and more. The best part, you get to draft a new team every day with no commitment. So there's no, you know, you're not stuck with guys all year. Mike, you know, you do a league, yeah, year-long fantasy, you're stuck with the same bum, he gets hurt, or you got a bum wheel, and, you know, so it's no good. You get a new chance every day. There's no better way to put your hockey knowledge to the test than with DraftKings. So hurry to DraftKings.com now and use the promo code Chiclets, that's C-H-I-C-L-E-T-S, to play free with your first deposit for your share of $5,000 in total prizes. That's promo code Chiclets to play for free with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Welcome to episode 48 of Spittin' Chiclets, brought to you by Barstool Sports. Long distance hello.
What up? What up?
There's our what up from our co-host Ryan Whitney, who is via satellite from, where are you in New Jersey right now, Witz?
I'm in the beautiful area of Secaucus, New Jersey right now.
Secaucus!
This is our first time doing this when I'm away and we're not in the same room. I never thought I'd say it, but I kind of miss your living room right now.
Wow, I don't know if that's an insult or a compliment, but...
I think it was both. It was kind of a backhanded compliment.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. No, I don't know. I kind of like just having to wake up and come down and fucking turn the microphone on. But so anyways, super producer Mikey Grinnelli, he's doing some...
Hello, gentlemen.
He's doing some producing. There he is right there. League. All right, we're in full swing in the league. Dude, I think the big story from last week, Ryan, was opening night in Las Vegas. Incredible job done by the game operations crew there. Had the perfect amount of solemnity, respect, adoration for the community, involving the community, and then it just had the perfect level. And then they go out and they kick ass to start the season 3-0. Man, what was your take on the opening night in Vegas?
Oh, I thought it was just perfectly well done, which is just crazy because it's such a hard thing to like how are you going to do this where you're also you want to show so much respect and show, how much everyone realizes what a horrible tragedy and that the NHL will help and can help. But you also want to, get fans kind of away from it and get them fired up. So they had that 58-second moment of silence. I tweeted out it was so, sad and powerful because it was just so long. You were like, holy fuck, this thing isn't ending. That's just a person that passed away. So that was just horrific. But then, after that, they brought out the the first responders, the players stood behind them. The Coyotes were on the other blue line. So it was like everyone kind of has won. And it was just it was the best thing they could have done. And then they got right into it. And I like that they're going to go with Go Knights Go as their chant. So similar to the LA Kings and Go Kings Go. But there was just so much going on. And then they come out flying. Hey, that was the biggest lock of the year, by the way. I had them every which way. I was like, they are going to steamroll this team because it was just seemed like it was so fired up in there. And it ended up being just an unreal home opener for them. And that team is I looked so bad. I said they were going to struggle scoring goals that night at work. Then they go out and got 4 in 3 minutes. And I was like, oh, Jesus, I don't know why I'm getting paid to do this. But they're surprising me right now.
I had them small for 100 to make 240 on the puck line, but I definitely would have thrown more. The only thing that sucks is sometimes when the game's listed as a 10:05 start, a lot of the offshores take them off, even if they're still doing pregame stuff still, because they think that's when the game started.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, dude, it's a lot. I don't know, you might still be able to call it in, but nobody calls it in anymore. You know what I mean? Like, some, you know, if you go to your site, they see that as the start time. So a lot of people might have got shut out. But yeah, it was incredible. That place was so pumped up, and I think also the Coyotes, we got to give them, you know, props too for taking part in it, for being participants, and also at the end of the game, I don't know if you caught Wits, you know, the Golden Knights come out and they saluted the crowd, but the Coyotes did as well, which you never see in a road game. They come out and did the same thing, which I thought was just a magnificent gesture. You know, it just again, we always talk about how good the hockey is and stuff like that, but it was just like, wow, man, you never see the road team come out and do that. So. It was a great game to do. Marc-Andre Fleury, man. I mean, he's the story.
He's amazing. Like the game that they won in, I think it was Dallas. I don't know. One of the first two games they won, he stood on his head. He was incredible. And then we talked to George McPhee like on an interview at NHL Network, and he just said, like, I knew this guy was good, but I didn't understand how special of a person he is. And that's what I've always been talking about. How he's like. Everyone loves him. He's the nicest guy in the world, and he works so hard. And so his teammates love him, and all the trainers and the staff he treats, like, so well. So right away, like, McPhee was saying that this guy's like, you know, we want the face of our franchise to be our logo, he said, but it's so hard for it not to be Fleury just because of how charismatic and how good he is.
Yeah, exactly. He's been outstanding out of the gate. James Neal, again, I think he's got 5 goals in a few games. It's just, it's been a wonderful story.
The real deal.
I mean,
hey, the real deal, James Neal. Did you see Pierre calling him big deal, James Neal?
Oh, my God. I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad I'm hearing it from you for the first time.
Because the Commodore is always the one tweeting the real deal, James Neal. And then Pierre was going off a big deal, James Neal. Coffee was going nuts on Twitter. He's like, Jesus Christ, Pierre, get it fucking right.
Oh, that's hilarious. Unless he's cucking fucking commie and he knows what he calls him.
Yeah, that would actually make it even better if he was like, actually, I'm owning you. I'm owning you right now, Commodore.
But, you know, I mean, 3-0 for expansion team. It's already a record. It would be a story even, you know, without the tragedy that happened in Vegas. But the fact that, you know, they're giving them something to... So, you know, like I said, distract them at this time. It's a nice addition to the story. Now, but Vegas isn't the only team that's coming out of the gate hot. Toronto, I think some of us maybe expected it, but, you know, how about the New Jersey Devils 3-0 out of the gate?
I know, and they look really, really good, actually, because it's funny. Like, that John Hines, he played at BU, and he was a grad assistant at BU. He coached the U.S. national program. Then he was Pittsburgh's the Wilkes-Barre head coach, and you know, now he's up and he's doing an excellent job in the NHL with like young guys. He gets them fired up to play. I've known him for a long time. It's no surprise. They also have some guys that have come in like, man, this Will Butcher's legit. He can move the puck. That's someone that just like, if you can get that one defenseman, two guys, three guys that you can just get the puck up ice quick nowadays. The forwards love it so much. And they do have some skill up front. Taylor Hall, this Nico Hischier looks real good. So I'm not going to say it's no surprise because it is, but also when you get some puck movers, it just changes everything. And then Corey Schneider never gets the respect he deserves. He's actually one of the top goalies in the league, I think. He's just had teams that aren't great in front of him.
Exactly. I took the words out of my mouth once again. Corey Schneider, bona fide number one, great goaltender. So that's always the biggest piece of a puzzle for a team, and they have it there. So then it's just kind of a matter of building around him. They got Halsey down there. They just brought Hischier, and they got a lot of good young talent. And, you know, I mean, again, it's early. We'll emphasize that. It's 3 games in. Teams can win 3 games and then go on a dump after that. Another team, they're a good team. It's not, I don't know.
Hold on. Quick. I had a little stat for you.
Oh, good. Shoot.
Will Butcher, he had 5 assists in his first 3 games, most by any player in his first 3 games since 2006, when who had 6 assists in their first 3 games?
2005, 15, 6, oh, Jesus.
You want me to tell you?
Yeah, I'm not.
Ryan Daniel Whitney, myself, not a big deal.
Wait, what year did you say?
2006.
Oh, 6. Oh, I thought you said fucking 16. Oh, that. Oh, I would have. If I said heard 6. Come on, I'm deaf as a haddock, man.
Ah!
Dude, 5. So you
Jeff Merrick. Jeff Hey, Jeff Merrick texted me that, and I was like, oh, yes, I'm using that on spit and chicklets, pumping my tires.
So, no, honestly, like, how do you, when you start to hear that hut, do you feel like you're at the top of the world? Like, you know, you can't, and like, nothing can knock you down. How are you feeling early in the year when you start off like that?
Yeah, I was sent down for the first, like, six games of the year. So then Pittsburgh, like, lost all of them, and I got called up. And then I just went on fire, and I remember Rick Jackman. He was a former fifth overall pick, too. He played in Pittsburgh with me, and he's like, it ain't this fucking easy, kid. And it was so true. Like, he was just like, what the fuck's this kid doing? It ain't that easy. But he was making it known that I knew, like, hey, this is going to end. Don't get too big over there. But I was fucking feeling unreal.
Now, how long does that take to go away? Is it like a couple giveaways in a night? Is it a couple bad games in a row? And then you start questioning yourself, shit, I don't fucking belong here. How long what's that process like?
I don't know. It's like, you know, once you have your first, like, real bad game, you're like, oh, geez, that was a one-off. I'll be fine. And then the next game, you might not play well either. You're like, oh, fuck. Like, I got to wake up here. This is not as easy as I thought it was going to be.
Huh. Nice. Interesting. All right. Back.
Although some of the kids now never really go through that. They just come in and just dominate. Like, you see with all these young guys and, like, Matthews, these guys are the best players in the league now, and it's taking them a year.
Yeah, yeah, it's fucking insane. I mean, obviously, you need to have that high level of talent, but it would, like, we're singing out of, you know, Matthews and McDavid and Line A, and like you mentioned, Eel is last week on the show, and he went out and he stole the show from those two the other night. It was in that Jets Oilers game.
Yeah, that Eel is he's nasty, and that's a pretty good deal. I think it was like $6 million a year for 7 years or something.
Yeah, he is fucking nasty. Another team, I mean, they're a playoff team. They got to the second round last year. It's no surprise, I guess, that they're 4-0, but only because they had so many fucking injuries. The St. Louis Blues, man, their preseason was like a MASH unit, ask a millennial. You know, there was, like you said, they lost Fabry. What's his, Boomista broke his foot. I mean, they lost so many players, and, like, they were like...
Steen
is another one. You know, they've so many starters. They even said, if we have to lose another defenseman, we're not sure what we're going to do here. And they come out 4-0 out of the gate. And, you know, I always go back to the goaltender, man. They've gotten great goaltending out of Jake Allen. But they're playing great, too. They're scoring goals. You know, they did blow one on Long Island the other day and a puck line cover. Kind of a big deal. But
oh, that's the worst. That's the worst.
Fuck me. But, you know,
yeah. But how about that Dallas puck line cover when Green turned it over with like 3 seconds left?
Oh my God! Did you see that? Obviously you did.
Yeah.
You brought it up.
Did you have that game?
I did. I gave it out, and then I might have had it on one of my smaller ARs. I have fucking the board spread pretty much every night. I think I might have had a small AR on it because I told people to bet them. But yeah, Green muffs the fucking clear, like almost like he did it on purpose. And then they set up for that's a gift. Like if I hit that puck line, I wouldn't probably bet the next night just because I shouldn't have won that bet, you know?
Yeah, and I know. That was unreal. And he just didn't even, it was so little time. You know what I mean? It was like 4 seconds when he had it, I think. And it was just like, if you're watching that game, you're like, oh my God, they got it.
Yeah. Oh, it's fun. It's like, it's crazy, man. Like I always say, you live by it, you die by it. Cause you know, like St. Louis the other day, they were up 2-0 with 3 minutes left and 2-1 Islanders pull a goalie and you know, it's 2-2 bing, just like that. It always goes this way or that way.
You know, how about Ovechkin coming out this hot?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. What did he get? He gets seven. Like first two, right?
Yeah, 7 in his first two. He also, I guess people were saying he's, lost a little weight this summer. He's, quicker. And he signed with CCM, which, his two biggest years in the league, he had, he was using a CCM stick, his two biggest goal years. And then he was with Bauer the last 6 years. Now he's back to CCM. So it's crazy to see, you know, you're not going to say it's the change in equipment, but, if he's had his two biggest years with CCM, he gets back this year and then starts lighting it up early. I'm like, oh, my God, is Ovi going to have one of those, 55-goal years? I looked at his stats the other day. It's actually incredible to look at. He's had a cup. His down years are 33-ish goals, and then every other year is 50 to 65 that one year.
Yeah, his question right now, is he going to be the next Mike Gartner, you know, scores a shitload of goals, but unfortunately never won a cup. That's basically where Ovechkin's legacy is.
Mike Gartner wasn't on the 94 Rangers?
Up until the trade deadline. And I believe he was in the B. Noonan trade, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure Gartner went to Chicago for Brian Noonan. There were some other principals involved as well, but
I think Amonte was in that trade, wasn't he?
I got my local guys screwed up. Because the Rangers drafted Amonte. That's who it was. But Gartner definitely got traded. He definitely did not win a cup because he scored 700. I think he broke 700, if I'm not mistaken. Definitely 600. He might have been one of those 700 guys. I got to check. I'm still fucking shaking the cobwebs out. Another team dude that...
Wow, I didn't know he never won the cup. That's crazy.
He definitely didn't. Another team, we've seen him twice in the last two nights here in Boston, or the last 3 days, rather. Colorado Avalanche, they come out four games. They've won three of them. They were the team. They were at the bottom of the league last year. And I think people forgot, you know, I was at the game with Buddy Selly the other day. I'm looking at the roster before the game, and I said, this is a good fucking team. You know, they look at all this talent. They got up front, Landeskog, McKinnon. I said, you know, and they got a number one goalie. Like, how are they so bad? And, you know, they went out and played, and they actually look pretty impressive. I mean, I know the Bruins are starting a lot of rookies right now, but, I mean, Colorado fucking looks good. It's early. They did the same thing to the Rangers.
Yeah, Yakupov, too.
Yeah, I know. Yakupov, like, man, I'm telling you, in Edmonton, I couldn't believe, and other guys would never say it, but, like, I was like, this kid is not, like, a first overall pick. Like, he just had, like, some great skill, but he would just kind of hop around the ice and, like, look really good and kind of not accomplishing much. And then, like, it didn't really work out in Edmonton, although he'd go out and score some goals, like, in the power play. He has an unreal shot, but, like, he'd kind of make, like, bonehead plays. And then, so, like, you know, that's a former first overall pick. So does he end up kind of, like, never really playing well in the NHL, which is the road he looked to be going on? But then this year he's getting this chance in Colorado. He started off hot. I mean, a couple of them were, like, empty netters, I think. But still, I mean, if they could get, like, a guy like that, like, say he could go get 30 goals. He was a first overall pick. Like, it's in there. Just about if he could figure it out. So that could be a huge help for Colorado. I mean, I don't think, like, their D's not, I mean, not great, but they're not as bad as they were last year. And, like, I will say, I don't know, like, if the Bruins, like, they're really going to struggle. They look good against Nashville, but those two games against Colorado I watched, they just look horrible. They need Bergeron back, so you got to wait for that. But in terms of Colorado, that kid, Tyson Jost, he's nasty. He played at North Dakota. He played on Team Canada, like World Juniors. He was really, really good. That kid's a first-round pick. He looks like he's ready to play. Shocker, like every other nasty young kid. And then Colin Wilson on your fourth line. He had some good years in Nashville. And that kid, Alexander Kerfoot, I think that's how you say his last name. He's played at Harvard last year. Picked his team we wanted to sign with. Goes to Colorado, definitely because they're saying, listen, you know, if the Blues or I'm just throwing out random teams, the Capitals, these good teams are looking at you. We got room. You're going to play for us. You know, and they're not guaranteeing you a spot, but they're telling you, you got a way better chance to play here and be an impact player. So he goes to Colorado. He's helped. He scored last night or the night before that. So, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be that surprising if they bounce back.
And to piggyback on Yakupov, you know, I wrote my blog a little while ago. It's like, you know, he almost was kind of drifting toward that, you know, Alexander Daigh territory, the number one overall pick. Edmonton was all down with him. St. Louis had no use for him. And he signed, I'm pretty sure, $875 is the NHL veteran minimum. And that's what he's playing for in Colorado. And, you know, if he can keep up this play, then he may be one of the better bargains in the NHL. I know it's like, again, four games in, but, you know, early returns have been pretty good for what the Blues are paying for so far. And another note, Steve Duchesne, Steve Duchesne again. Matt Duchesne.
I thought you were just saying that kidding.
No, yeah, it's funny.
You actually did it again.
It's funny. It's funny. I actually wrote in the blog, I wrote Matt, not Steve Duchesne. I just wrote that literally an hour ago. But we haven't heard a lot of that trade chatter anymore. I mean, it's funny how kind of winning makes that go away, huh, Wits?
Yeah, I mean, I think more than anything, it's just people are sick of talking about it. I mean, there's not much left to report in terms of there's nothing happening. I mean, when it gets traded, it'll get traded. Yeah, somebody will get the scoop first. But I don't know if you saw what Peter Forsberg came out and said.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so he said, you know, he came out and he was just saying, like, listen, you got to just trade him or bench him. Put him in the stands, basically. The guy, and this is all translated from Swedish, and you also don't even know the question that was asked to him to get the answer. So it's really kind of like, you don't know what's going on, and the translation could be fucked up. But he was like, you know, he basically made it sound like he's not willing to win. He doesn't want to play for the team, so don't play him anymore. And then it came out Forsberg called Duchesne. They, like, knew each other to begin with. I don't think Forsberg was kind of bad-mouthing Duchesne. I think he was just giving his opinion on, you know, what how he thinks the whole thing could get solved. But, I mean, it's just kind of a mess because what are you going to do, not play him? He's one of your best players. It's like you can't just sit him out, especially if you do still want to trade him and he's still reminding you he wants to be traded. All right, well, you got to play and you got to play good. And that's just kind of where it's at now. There's not much else to be said about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a typical old, I mean, you know? Forsberg's not an old guy player, but he's a retired player, given his opinion. That's kind of, you know, basically irrelevant to what the team's doing. Because, yeah, you only sit a guy if the trade is pending. That's like, you don't sit a guy just to punish him and hurt the team and hurt his value. You obviously, you know, I mean, like Colorado, they're playing well right now, and he's contributing. So just keep fucking going along. And who knows, if they think they have something, they could decide, you know, he might get happy there. Stranger things have happened, certainly, in the NHL, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's
now,
so true.
On the flip side, teams that have come out disappointing. You just mentioned the Bruins, so we'll follow with them. It's been a rough ride for them. They look good opening night. They beat Nashville, who struggled in their first few games. But the last two, Colorado, come in Monday, dummied them 4-0. Beat them 6-3 last night. Two empty netters, it's got to be noted. Bruins didn't wake up till late in the third period. Like you just said, they're missing Bergeron ridiculously, just for all the reasons that Bergeron, all the things he brings to you. And also, you know, they got, I think, four or five rookies in the lineup right now, and I think that's really showing. And the other thing is Tuukka Rask isn't playing his best hockey either. So what do you think, Wits?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would say that they're going to need really good goaltending all year. I think, you know, we've always made it clear that I love, like, Tuukka, the way he plays. But, yeah, right now, I mean, I'm sure you've seen a couple goals go in where right away he, like, you know, hammers his stick to the ice, and you could see he's like, I should have had that one. So, I mean, that's going to happen. And like you said, with the rookies, I mean, they'll have rookie mistakes and stuff, but it seems like they're not creating much, and like, or not even not creating much, but just like kind of half asleep to start games. You know, like the game at home was a 1 o'clock game against Colorado, and they just came out like kind of asleep, and Colorado played really well. And so like, then, you know, you go to the next game and you're in Colorado and they're obviously like fired up to be home. And, you know, you lose another one. So it's more about the rest of this road, you know, the rest of their games on the road. They have to, you know, get a win and kind of get everything back on track and get guys more relaxed. Because, you know, people start panicking when you start out 1-3, 1-4, 1-5, all, you know, and then all of a sudden they're making big changes.
Yeah, and, you know, you look, they got Arizona coming up Saturday, who hasn't won yet. They're coming off, you know, I'm not sure if they play between now and Saturday, but they've yet to win. And then they're in Vegas Sunday night. And, you know, we've talked about with Vegas, you know, what kind of high they're on right now. So it's not like they got a couple cakewalks lined up either when you might have looked at the schedule. Oh, yeah, Coyotes and the new expansion team. But, you know, there's suddenly going to be a couple tough games on the docket for the Bees. So it's going to be interesting. Oh, by the way, shout out to my old man. He's going to be in Vegas for the game. He'll have the spit and Chicklets shirt on, so you don't have to buy.
He's going out there for it.
Yeah, well, he goes to Vegas every October, anyways. But he coincided this particular trip with the Bruins game, so he'd be able to go to the Bruins game while he's out there. Because yeah, I got his tickets and shit. So he's he's pretty fired up. He'll have his Chicklets shirt on. So if you're at the game on Sunday,
when is Bergeron and Backes back?
Backes is out for at least 2 to 3 weeks with a diverticulitis. Bergeron, they're still calling day to day, but he's only skating a little bit before practice. Of course, they haven't said what it is, so it's obviously lower body, something from his fucking leg down, but I don't know when.
Yeah.
No one really seems to know when he's coming back or what the problem is. And of course, when he does come back, it's not going to be cured 100%, so he's still going to probably have an issue too when he does return.
Yeah. Hey, how about. After we talked about rule changes a couple episodes ago, did you see the Flyers get buried on Haxtell's challenge in Nashville?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I had fucking Nashville on the puck line that night, so unfortunately I do.
I couldn't believe, like, you know, you got this thing now where if you challenge this offside and it's wrong, you get a penalty. So you're on the road, you're up a goal. Like, you're up two goals, sorry. And then, were they up one or two when they scored to that he challenged it?
I honestly forget that because I know Philly was up 5-3, and then I think it was 5-4 when he challenged because then you know they ended up, there was a fucking flurry of goals.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, Philly goes from like winning a good solid road win at a team's home opener to not even getting a point in the span of like 1 minute. So I kind of love that rule now because it puts so much like pressure and emphasis on not only the coach, but the video guy in the back. He's going to be like 100% sure that it's offsides, and they weren't there. He wasn't even close, really. Philippe Forsberg dragged his foot, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, they got another power play. We're going to lose this game. So that was just pretty crazy to see that. Yeah, that won't be the only time that happens this year with that rule.
And it was such a cock tease, too, if you had the Nashville on the puck line, because they were up 3-0 early. Then they're down 5-3. Now they're tied. Now they get a 5-on-3 with 2 minutes left. You know, like, you got a perfect opportunity to actually get this puck line cover, being down 5-3 with, like, 6 minutes left in the game, and they couldn't pull it off. So, fuck. Been a rough one.
I'm sorry to remind you.
That's all right. No, shit happened. San Jose, because, you know, it's tough. I mean, they're 0-2. They've only played two games due to whatever scheduling quirks. They just haven't, you know, caught up to other teams. But, you know, they haven't looked great either. Martin Jones, I seen one of the games he played. He played great in the third period, but he sucked early in the game, and that's when they gave the lead up. But San Jose, what do you think? I think they're a team. They'll probably get it going. They're going to miss Patty Marleau a bit, but there's, you know, there's still a lot of solid talent there. Jones is a number one. You know, I don't think they're going to be at the bottom of the NHL for too much longer.
No, I mean, I think that they'll figure it out. It's just so that, you know, teams all of a sudden, they have these little, like, they have years when they're just in the hunt, and it's been a long time for San Jose. Forever you said they couldn't even win a round or win two rounds, but then finally, you know, they got to the Cup Finals. But it's just kind of now, like, they are bringing in some younger guys. They're trying to change the whole culture there. Marlowe's gone. Thornton's still there playing big minutes, but, like, he's, you know, he's like 40 or is he? He's not 40, but he's getting up there. I think he's 39. I would actually, Grinelli, how old is he? Can you look that up?
Yeah,
Grinelli's getting
older. But yeah, so like he's getting older. But they also have talented guys. Like that Bodker that they signed, not this year, the summer before. Like if they could get, you know, the game out of him the way he played in Phoenix. Last year he really started slow. He ended up playing a little better as the year went on. But Logan Couture is a really good player, top two-line center. And, you know, they got these other guys that they're just going to need to see what they got from younger players. I mean, Donskoy's not young, but he's had a little success, especially in the playoffs in that run 2 years ago. So
38.
It's all about if guys – how old is he?
He's 38, Whit.
Yeah, okay, so 38. But still, like, how many 38-year-olds are playing? Never mind. How about Jágr? Did you see how he looked last night when he played? Or Wednesday night, excuse me?
I didn't catch any. I think he played 13 and a half minutes. I didn't catch any of the Calgary game last night. So I can't attest to that.
It was a late one, and he was just kind of slugging around out there. Yog style.
What did you guys think of Carolina? Second home game of the year, and they had like 6,000 people in the crowd. I mean, is it time to move that team out of there?
Well, it's up to the owners, you know. It's like, I know there's been Camanos and the Suns, and people don't know who wants to take ownership, but as long as the owners keep it there, the NHL really can't force them to move it. I mean, they could start to make things happen that aren't conducive to them owning a hockey team there anymore, but yeah, they should. I think they should move probably because when you're drawing 7,000. I mean, the announced attendance was 7,800. So that means there were probably fucking 5,000 people in the building. And if that's the case in three games in the season, that's just not an area that's taken to hockey much. And it's understandable where the location is. Quebec has a brand new shiny building waiting for a tenant. I know the NHL would much rather have a guy pay $500 million for an expansion fee. But the thing is, there's 31 teams already. You're really only going to add one more expansion team. They should probably do it in the West, perhaps probably Seattle, maybe Kansas City. And then whoever buys or owns Carolina should just move them to Quebec. It'll and then eventually when they add a team out West, the conferences will be aligned. You won't have a team drawing $5,000 a night, and you'll have a big team back in Quebec. What do you say, Wits?
I mean, that sounds ideal. I'm 100% with a team back in Quebec. I wonder if the Panthers could end up moving too someday. It's like that's the same type of thing as Carolina. The thing with Carolina they're good this year. Like they're fun to watch. They have these young players that we talked about them before the year. They're like a fun team to watch, see where they'll end up. And they got Scott Darling. Like he's going to be an upgrade for them over Cam Ward. So it's exciting. And there's still nobody going. Like, I mean, there's 7,000 people and that's the announced crowd. So, you know, there's less than that. That's the announced of the tickets sold. So, you know, that there's less than 7,000 actually in the arena.
Yeah, exactly. It's you know, it's, even as a team, as a business, you know, that's you know, people, 12,000 people who aren't in there spending money on hot dogs and drinks and beers and all that shit. So, you know, as a...
But listen, hey, about about Quebec, though, sorry, I just forgot to say quick, I don't know, like, if the Canadian dollar is, like, similar to the way it is now, I don't know if it would ever work with a team in Quebec.
Yeah, that's when we need Barstool Chief. He's, like, he's Barstool's Canadian market expert as far as converting the dollar. So, yeah, that's a good point, too.
Oh, we'll have him on then. We got to ask him.
Yeah, we've actually been meaning to have Chief on, but he keeps getting bumped by NHL players to be direct, and he doesn't take it personal because he knows.
Hey, the new guy was the guy. I think it's the guy who owns the Houston Rockets. He's like, we'll have a hockey team down here. We want a hockey team down here. We'd love it.
Yeah, that would be good too. I mean, if they think they can support a team in Houston, it's obviously a major city. I mean, they do get the Stars in Dallas, but that's a big city far away. I mean, Texas is fucking gigantic.
Seattle seems like it's a really, like, not done deal, but there'll be a team in Seattle, I feel like.
Yeah, it feels like the machinations are in order right now. Things are going to happen. One other team we're going to shit on before we go to All Right Hamilton, and I'm going to have fun doing this. The Montreal Canadiens, 1-3 out of the gate. I believe they've scored 2 5-on-5 goals in 4 games so far. Them and the Rangers had a game Sunday night. It was one of these teams is going to really hear it Monday morning, and it turned out the Canadiens. I don't know. They're probably, I don't know. Are they going to turn around? They got Claude there. He's a defensive coach. It's a crowd that loves high-flying scoring. Claude isn't about that. He's defense and goaltending. It almost looks like he's, not almost, he's kind of using the same playbook he used with the Bruins 7, 6, 7, 8 years ago, and now he's trying it in Montreal. And right now it doesn't seem to be working all that good for him.
No, it doesn't. It's a weird time up there. I mean, it's like, You wonder, like, Galchenyuk. Remember Galchenyuk 2 years ago? He had, like, 32 goals or something like that. He was unreal. All the skill in the world. Big, strong, fast. Like, can play center. Was playing wing. And then, like, last year he had an off year. And then this year he hasn't scored yet. He's just struggled to, like, kind of find his role there. I don't know. Now, Drouin looked good. He was their big pickup in the summer. He's looked good. But, I mean, the D, like, they're not – it's like they miss Markov, I think. Andre Markov, I mean, he's back in the KHL. They didn't want to re-sign him, or I don't know what ended up happening there, but he's back playing in the KHL, and he's an unreal passer of the puck. He's not that fleet of foot anymore, but it's like he didn't really need to be, especially on the power play. Their power play has been garbage. You know, you look at the Shea Weber-Subban trade. Shea Weber's still, you know, really, really, really good player, but, I mean, I was just wondering, 2 years, Subban looks great. He's flying around. It's such a weird trade that's been talked about over and over. At this point, it's more about what they have. And it seems that Julian's doing the same thing, like you said, like with the style, you know, with grinding it down low, throwing it back to the point. There's not much off the rush. And if it continues to go on there, that could be ugly. By the way, didn't he sign a 5-year deal for $25 million?
He signed definitely a 5-year deal. I think, I don't know if it was 20. It was really good money they gave him. Yeah, and that's what, you know, there's no way he's gonna last that long in Montreal with like the way his style, the way things are meshing. And another name to add, they lost Radulov.
Imagine if they didn't have Price.
Yeah. Oh, he's the only thing that keeps them afloat. I mean, he's the only reason they're even being competitive in games. And like I just said, Radulov's another guy they lost who went to Dallas, I believe.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
he's
probably one of their top
highly skilled guys. So all right, that's a little roundup about who's doing what, who's going up and down. It's still early, you know, we're not making any fucking proclamations here, just taking notes. And all right, these guys are surprising us, these guys are disappointing
us.
Hold
on, who do you next week when we record, want to throw a little bet in? I got the Devils will still be undefeated. You got the Vegas Knights.
Sure. Fuck it. Yeah. What are we betting?
You degenerates.
We'll talk about that when we're here.
All right. Send me a DM.
That's disgusting.
All right. All right, wait, let's play a little fucking All Right Hamilton. We got a shitload of questions last night. We've been getting some good ones. It's been nice. So fire it away, Grinnells.
All right, gentlemen, Mike DeFonzio asks...
Hey, Mikey.
Mikey asks, ultimate shoot-up lineup. Shootout lineup. All right,
Hamilton. Shoot-up. Whoa. I'll take John Travolta in Pulp Fiction, Al Pacino in The Panic in Needle Park.
That's asked by a guy, DeFonzio, too?
Yeah, no, he asked the shootout lineup. Who is your ultimate shootout lineup?
Any current or all time?
He just asked who's your ultimate shootout lineup. Well, I'll let you guys be the judge of that.
To me, ultimate means all time.
Yeah, so do all time.
Yeah, I'm going to go fucking you know, obviously Gretzky, I'll fucking start with. Lemieux, I mean, best, probably the best hands
wow,
ever.
Wow, you're okay. So I went, I'm totally the opposite. My number one's Datsyuk, 100%.
Definitely.
Wayne Gretzky, remember he didn't even shoot in the shootout in the Olympics in Nagano against Czech Republic? He was on the bench for that shootout. That was a huge fumble. They lost. Hasek shut him out.
Yep.
Or shut him out in the shootout. But yeah, I'm more thinking, when you said shootout, I immediately started thinking from when the shootout came into play. I wasn't even really thinking of like older school players.
Yeah. Oh, I seen the word ultimate, so I take that to be like all encompassing. Maybe I'm taking a little creative liberty.
All encompassing of the history of the National Hockey League. I like it. But we just never saw them in shootouts, so we don't know. I got Datsyuk. I got Oshie's unreal. He's the leader right now in career percentage. He's 54% career, which is unreal. Like, if you think about every other time, pretty much you score a goal, that's incredible. The goalies at the advantage on those shootouts.
And for my third, actually, this works out good. You're doing the current players, and I'm doing the fucking old school players, so that works out good. For my third, I'll put Denny Savard in my number three slot for the shootout. He had some fucking nasty hands.
He could do a spinorama on the goalie.
Fucking right, brother. All right, what do we got next? you got one. All right. You got one,
yeah,
more, Wits?
No, I got one more.
Yeah, you said Datsyuk.
I said Datsyuk, Oshie. I'll go. UC Jokinen.
Do you
remember how nasty he was for a lot of years? He'd do that. He'd bring it down the right side. He's a lefty. He'd go backhand, back to forehand, quick snapshot, low blocker, and it worked every time.
I'm surprised you didn't go Marek Malik.
Cool. Remember that guy? He was like a fucking giraffe out there. Remember he was like raising the roof after? We got to get the clip of him doing the most awkward celebration. He's like, yeah. I imagined like... the guy from Star Wars doing it.
It's like fucking Arsenio Hall up in this bitch.
So kind of piggybacking on that last one, Derek G asks, what is your favorite shootout or breakaway goal of all time? All right,
Hamilton. Oof, that's a
wow. That's a good one. That's a good question.
I can say mine right off the bat, and I would say it's Datsyuk's goal, like the Datsyuk when he does the almost backhand toe drag and then puts it upstairs.
And yeah, I think it was Marty Turco in the black Dallas uniform they had, and he like literally like fell over.
I'm gonna think
that one, right?
Yeah, that one's the best.
One of my favorite breakaway goals that comes to mind right away was the '97 final with Darren McCarty come down. I don't know if it was the eventual game winner or if it just sealed the cup, but I think they swept Philly that year. Darren McCarty come down on a breakaway. Now here's
He walked a D-man.
I think it was still Hextall in that at the time. And he basically put the game out of reach back then. I mean, back then, no teams didn't come back from 2-3 goals down back in 96, 97. He basically sealed the cup, and it was great to see a grinder, third-line guy, a heart and soul guy go out. So that's a memorable playoff one. And then for a regular season one, Wits, remember that fucking Neely breakaway? I think it was on Quebec. I don't know if it was Stéphane Fissette. And he come in, and he just did that boom, dip, like – back left, back, like back and forth, and he went backhand upstairs. I can't even describe it. He just fucking, it was, because Neely was a sniper. You're pitching him at the circles, blasting fucking rippers, but he came in and he just fucking deked the goalie seven times and went upstairs on him. We'll dig that bad boy out too.
I thought you'd say Sean Thornton one.
Mikey, you have to get the clip of that goal, and as it's happening, have RAs doing it. Beep, pop, boop, boop, back, forth. So we can see like his description of the goal if he was doing it. That was perfect analysis.
R2-D2 does fucking NHL.
Hey, so you know what breakaway goal I always remember from like Don Cherry, like Rock'em Sock'em videos, is the Pavel Bure 94 in double overtime against Calgary in Calgary. He was on Vancouver when the Vancouver had the black and yellow, and he fucking scored, and then he windmilled his stick over his head. Fuck, it was like a fucking lasso, and he just went firing into the glass. So it was crazy, you know, Vancouver, Calgary, double overtime, game seven. And Bure was so exciting. Like, I feel like he's somebody that doesn't get talked about enough just because he played when there really wasn't the internet age. And like, he's kind of, you know, back in Russia, or, you know, you don't hear from about him much, but he was incredible.
He's a dead ringer for fucking Italian porn star Rocco Siffredi as well, if you didn't know that. Oh, can
that's
I?
I got a
kind of a story from the '94 Cup. Should I tell it?
Sure.
I was 22 at during the 94 Stanley Cup, and I worked back then. I was in college. I worked at my uncle and aunt's family owned video store, you know, during the summers and shit, help out when I was home on break. And they were like, you know, the high school age girls that worked there that, you know, I was interacting with all the time. So one of them wanted me to go to the prom. And I was like, dude, I'm 22 years old. My uncle's like, Brian, come on. He's like, can you do me a favor? He goes, I'll give you extra hours to work to help pay for it. He goes, it'd be a favor to me. He's like, she's a good kid. I goes, dude, I'm not like hooking up with her. And he's like, no, not like that. She just needs an escort. So I go to the fucking, I go to the prom, you know, Little over the most of the crew there. So I walk in. It was like game three or four of the 94 Cup that year. The Cup that year was the Rangers versus the Vancouver Canucks because Pavel Bure played for them. So I walk in, and you know, it's all fucking students standing around. Naturally, it's a prom. And I see fucking Bob Norton, the Nesson commentator. He's the principal of the school I'm at. It was Woobin High like 23 years ago. The guy who announces like...
Dude, Bob Norton would just be like, Ryan Whitney from Player Academy played for Jack Foley when he'd be announcing all the high school games.
Yeah, he was the guy who did high school and college games.
College game.
But
Bob Norton, what a legend.
Unbeknownst to me, he was also the fucking principal of the school prom I was going to a little past my expiration date. And I walk in, and there's all...
How old were you, 22?
I was 20 deuce, yeah. That's, you know, 20
deuce. 20 deuce at a high school prom?
Yeah, dude, I was taking one for the team.
Holy shit, you fucking... They're like, hey, Chris Hansen's like in the prom bathroom. He's like, 160.
So I walk in, dude, right, Witz? And all... You know, that's fucking... You know, dozens of students at the school, and I walk in and I see Bob Norton. Now, it was like I said, game three or four of the night. I'm missing the game for the fucking prom. And I goes, hey, Bob, you got to score in the game. And every fucking kid stops and looks at me because I called the principal by his first name in front of the whole school. He's like, no, I haven't heard anything yet. He just gave me an answer. He didn't even like say anything about me calling him Bob.
You were a legit character from Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
No, I mean, it wasn't like...
Ask a millennial. That's unreal.
It's fucking...
Bob Norton, dude.
Bob Norton. I was like, hey, Bob, you got to score in the game. And fucking horrified students are like, who's this old fuck it up prom? So that's
Bob Norton. Bob Norton was amazing. He'd be like, Brian Yandel carrying the puck up the ice, played for Steve Jacobs at Cushing Academy. Before that, played for Bill Hansen at Catholic Memorial. Like, he just described everyone's high school career as they shot the fucking hockey game.
Shit. All right. That was a little story time with RA. All right, Grinnelli, what do we got next?
All right. So,
I like that one.
Den Deal asks, should NCAA hockey players get to wear halfies? All right,
Hamilton. Yes, they 100% should. But the reason I've always been told it'll never happen is because then the school has to have all the dental and health, extra health insurance on the players. I that's what I've been told. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah, 100%.
Is that bullshit?
Yeah, it's always about money, so that wouldn't fucking surprise me at all. Anything that saves people money, it's probably even not even about injuries at that point, you know?
Especially for the schools that don't bring in a ton of money.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, it would be awesome, though. It would be so much better. I mean, you know, especially now you go to the World Juniors, you have one on then when you're playing against the best players in the world. So I just don't think it'll ever happen. I mean, they should at least be able to warm up with no helmets on. That's the fucking best part. The college would be sick for that. Yeah. Showing your flow off or your lack thereof.
Yeah, as a goalie, I could care less because I'm going to have a full mask anyway. So go ahead. Final question.
All right. So Jake Pacini asked, what really goes on in an NHL locker room when losing big, i.e. Pens down 5-0 to Hawks after first period? All right,
Hamilton. Oh, that's the worst thing in the world when you're down like... Look, I think Crosby actually had an interview after. He was like, it was 7-0, like, halfway through the second period. It was embarrassing. You don't even really know how to play. And then, like, you just hope that the team will stop scoring. Chicago just kept going. They got, like, three more. But, I mean, those games just suck. You just want to just get through it. You try to, like, every team tries to, in the third period, be like, treat this like a new game, you know? Like, this is, all right, we're down 8-0, but go out, win the third period, try to carry it over into the next game. It's kind of like... Has forever been the way coaches will talk, and in 100 years they'll be saying the same thing in blowouts. So there's not much you can do, though.
If my team's down 5-1 after the first, I say, thank God.
You're fighting.
No, I say, thank God it's the new NHL. I could get 4 in the next period and still cover the puck line. Higgy.
The Pete Rose Admiral.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, that wraps it up for All Right Hamilton. And this week's All Right Hamilton was brought to you by... Us guys. Spitting Chicklets here at Barstool Sports. Let everybody out there know you're gassing beers and chucking nuts and supporting the pod and supporting the squad by rocking our official gear. We got plenty of colors for plenty of teams and also our special Not a Big Deal, which is coming soon. Get our shirts at BarstoolSports.com/chicklets. That wraps up this episode.
Oh, no, wait.
Wait, wait, no.
You guys, there was another.
Go ahead.
There was another one. There was another one I saw. Okay. I saw in the tweets.
All right. Which one?
It was somebody asked what college I would have played at if it wasn't at BU.
Which one?
And I like what experience? And it was, I always wanted to play. It would be sick to play at Michigan and then go to Michigan football games. Yost Arena is unreal. Ann Arbor is awesome. So that's, I just wanted to let that be known. I was like, I'm BU in my heart, but if I had to go somewhere else, I think it was Michigan because I liked them so much when Charles Woodson was the D and the D back there and the Heisman Trophy winner.
A little college hockey talk never hurt nobody.
Yeah, exactly, especially with Grinnelli in the house.
Actually, Witz, I'm going to actually piggyback on that point. I hear that common refrain amongst a lot of my Barstool peers that, oh, I wish I went to a college with, you know, big football games because they're watching the
football game.
But honestly, I can honestly say I never really felt that way because, like, oh, yeah, that's a fun 3 hours of the week or whatever. But, like, I don't know. You're still a fucking small fish in a giant pond. I went to a little fucking scrappy state school. It was kind of like a high school, but I don't know. I mean, it was like at least people knew who you were. Like, I felt like a little bit more, at least a medium-sized fish in a small pond anyways. Like, I don't know. I got no regrets of going to a fucking small school where, I don't know, I fucking did it right for myself.
Gives you something to rally behind, though.
You were probably like the like school bookie, and you were just like the big dog. That's why you loved it so much.
If anyone's listening, code red, cancel Grinnelli, delete.
We'll delete that.
Allegedly. All right, Witz. Another fun one. We'll be in touch. Enjoy your time down in Secaucus.
And I'll be, we'll be back on your couch. Fuck your couch, motherfucker. We'll be back on your couch in next week. So I'll see you guys then.
Sounds good, buddy. Take care.